I wanted to ask you a little bit more about why the Icarus Project is called the Icarus Project. What's the story behind that?
So Icarus was this boy in Greek mythology who had wings, and he didn't know how to use them and ended up flying too close to the sun. And in the story in Greek mythology, he drowns in the ocean. When Jax and I met, we both were really inspired by the Icarus story because we saw that, you know, we were both people who had these, you know, what were considered diseases or disorders. But actually, if we revisioned the story and saw ourselves as having these dangerous gifts, it gave us so much more power in our lives to be able to talk. So the whole idea of the Icarus Project came out of this vision of redefining mental illness into something beautiful and creative.
So you have a critique of mainstream psychiatry's method of defining and treating what they call mental illness. And you specifically challenge the idea of biopsychiatry. Why does biopsychiatry not work for you?
When we talk about biopsychiatry, there's really the dominant paradigm, like the dominant way that gets shown to us from the television shows that we watch and from everything that we see on the internet and just the way when you walk into your doctor's office, it's all about brain chemicals and brain chemistry. And what we're saying is that there's this whole wide world of other factors that end up having an impact on our well-being, you know, whether it be our families, whether it be the political situation, whether it be the economy, you know, whether it be existential dilemmas about why we're here. These are all different aspects of what feeds into how we end up feeling about ourselves as people. And the convenience of the biopsychiatric story for the system that we live under is that it doesn't give us any space to talk about larger issues of well-being that might be tied to politics or to society or to issues of gender and race and class and all of these things that have such a big impact on all our lives.
So you recently wrote an article called Unraveling the Biopsychiatric Knot, the Future History of the Radical Mental Health Movement. In it, you talk about the rise of neoliberalism and biopsychiatry in the early 1980s and about how they are united as a paradigm that affects our lives even today. So how exactly do these two schools of thought play off each other and how does that affect us?
In the 1980s, with the rise of neoliberalism, what happened basically was that there was all of this, there were all these things that were public that began to be privatized. And there were the whole idea of there even being a collective good was called into question. You know, at the time, Margaret Thatcher was saying that, you know, there is no such thing as a community, that we were all just individuals. And so it's really important when we look at modern psychiatry to see that it came of age in this time of individualism and in this rise of the free market capitalism. When you want to talk about biopsychiatry, you have to talk about it in this political context. And if it's taken out of that political context, it doesn't really make any sense why all of a sudden we're talking about mental health as this individual this individual phenomenon of brain chemicals, when in reality, mental health is a collaborative process. We are mentally healthy or mentally sick, all very much having to do with the world around us and how others are doing.
You also said in the article that the idea of sadness as being a problem of brain chemistry fuels the market-based economy.
Well, you know, the market economy is based on dissatisfaction. If people are satisfied, if people are happy, then, you know, they're not going to feel much of a need to go to the store and buy stuff. They're not going to just sit there on television. And one of the scariest parts of the modern consumer culture that we live in is that when you dig underneath the surface of it, it becomes clear pretty quickly that its foundation rests on us being unhappy.
So I guess as far as treatment for people who may be suffering psychologically, whatever you may call that, what kind of treatment models would you say are desirable? And are you opposed to people taking psychiatric drugs?
Oh, no, well, let's be really clear about this. I take psychiatric drugs. I'm diagnosed with what in the modern language is called bipolar disorder, and I take the classic treatment for it, which is called lithium carbonate, and it's actually quite helpful for me. Now, it works for me, and one of the things that you can see on our discussion forums and talking about psychiatric meds is that people have such different responses to the drugs, you know, and some drugs work really well for people and some drugs really don't. And one of the things that we did, which was really helpful, was we created this space that hadn't really been there before for people who were critical of the psychiatric system to talk about their experiences and have respect for each other. You know, well, those drugs work for you, they don't work for me, you know, like, and I think in general, what we put out there with the organization is that for people who don't want to be on psychiatric drugs, we want to help them get off those drugs. But fundamentally, the question comes down to what kind of support structures do we have in our lives? Whether you're taking drugs or you're not taking drugs, whether you have a, you know, psychiatric diagnosis or you don't, you know, everyone needs support. One thing that I think is really, really important in the society that we live in is that people have their chosen family and that they have people who have their backs. We're living in times now where, you know, with the rise of social networking sites, you can, you know, look at Facebook and see the hundreds of friends that you have on there. But then if you were really in a crisis, how many of those people would actually be there for you? And that's something that at the Icarus Project, we spend a lot of time talking about. Like, what does it really mean to be a friend to someone? What does it really mean to be supportive? And what is it, what, how do we create these kind of networks? And, you know, it's one of the key pieces of the equation is that we have to understand for ourselves what our needs are. Because if you don't understand what your needs are, you have a really hard time explaining it to other people, what they need, you know, what they need to do to help you. And so, you know, something that we do is we create these maps. Some people in Icarus call them MAD maps or wellness maps. And it's like these very basic documents, or what are the things that I need to do to take care of myself every day? So the biopsychiatric model is an illness-based model. It's a model that looks at how are you sick and then what can we do to make you healthy, you know? But if we were to approach it from the opposite direction and say, what do I look like when I'm healthy, you know? Where, like, that's a really important question, because for a lot of people, it's very hard to answer, you know? But you can look at the healthy ways that people create their chosen community, and there's probably a lot there for the future.